Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ooh, wait, wait. No, no, no.
Listen. wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it.
Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, girl, you can pick a fool. Just kidding. just.
This is my favorite. We mess up so much, and this is
okay. Let me try it again. Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast that says, "Girl, you can pick a field full of daisies, but he'd still be my baby."
Okay.
I'm Francesca Ramsey, and I'm an actress, producer, writer, and former graphic designer.
And I'm DeLon Grant. I'm an actor, a singer, a photographer, and a writer. And this week, we have a very special guest on the pod. She is a self-professed dickhead in recovery, which I effing love. I love. She's Nigerian-born, London-based. She's an actor. She is a writer. She's a director. And she's the host of the award-winning podcast, Say Your Mind.
And if you are not one of the millions of people who have listened to her hit show, which you should be, then perhaps you have maybe seen her on the BBC, on Sky News, or on the TEDx stage. She's a force of nature and just a baby girl at the same time. It's the one and only Kelechi Okafor.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh, we are so excited to have you on the pod after speaking this into existence.
And yes. I have to say, like, Fran just introduced me to your work. I am like such an overnight fan.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I heard that your podcast was starting, and I said, yo, I need to join in, because the vibe just sounded immaculate.
Oh, yay. Well, we are blessed.
One of the things I really love about your podcast is, like, I think there are people in the world that are gifts to the rest of us that allow us to be more of ourselves. So that's just a compliment from me to you. I really think you give us all so much more permission to just be fallible, to be beautiful. And I thank you, like, a huge fan. And Fran was recently on your podcast.
Yes.
And the two of you had a whole moment about the one hit wonder girl hit group Dream, which we're going to talk about today. You guys were so passionate about it, but I got to admit, I was taken aback when Fran said she wanted to do an episode about it, because they were a one hit wonder, right?
Yeah.
What's
yes.
there to fix? Our podcast is about fixing. What's there to fix? There's no music catalog.
DeLon. Dream? Had bops.
They have bops.
Like, Kelechi, back me up here. They had bops, plural.
Plural?
Well, I know of the one bop. No matter what you do, he's never gonna be with you. He's into what he's got. He loves me. He loves you now. The one bop that I love was that, you know, that's what I know. But then I have heard through the grapevine that they did have a couple of other kind of tunes.
Yes.
Well, listen, I appreciate you guys. There were two. I'm giving you two, which we will talk about. But anyway, on Let Me Fix It, we love to play games with our guests. We play games all the time. So we have a little game that we put together, of the dream-like, it's called the Dream Quiz, so okay. Get ready for it. Insert the dream harp sounds.
DeLon, you do not have to say insert dream harp sounds. You could just put the dream harp sounds in when you are editing.
Yeah, that's like my Hey Siri reminder to myself.
Okay.
Though,
got
you
it.
Know? Okay, anyway, Dream Quiz. I watch Siri be this bitch. Every time, I actually just shut her ass off. Every time. Okay, Insert dreamy harp sounds. First question, Clutchy. How many girls were in the group dream? 4, 5, 23, or 6? Multiple choice, even.
Oh, my God. Was it four? That is correct.
It is correct. With an addendum, because there were two replacements in there.
There were definitely two replacements.
Yes.
So at Factoid, the number 23 did not come out of nowhere. I know you're probably like, why was that in there? There is a K-pop group named Neo Culture Technology, which currently is the largest K-pop group in the world. They have 23 members.
23?
Yes, there is a pop group with 23 members. Okay, next
That's
question.
That's like an army.
Yeah, Independence Association. Like, what?
The K-pop group has its own zip code. It is ginormous.
Oh, my God.
Okay, next question. Can you name Dream's four members? And if not, don't worry. You can just guess because no one else knows their names either.
I don't know their names, but I feel like one looks like an Amy, maybe an Amber. One looks like maybe a Keely, Kelly. And then one maybe might be a Megan.
You know what? I love you trying to channel the names.
My jaw is on the ground because you were like, I don't know, but it could be Becky. Sue. You just came up with names. Brilliant. Brilliant.
It could be Summer. Could be Karen.
Yes, they are four white girls. So you were good to pick all these names. We were surprisingly close. The members were Holly, Melissa, Ashley, and Diana.
Oh, wow. Wow. Those also would have been, if I kept on, I think I would. No, I was going to say Brittany.
You would have gotten
next.
There.
Brittany, but it was a good guess as well. Okay. For our final question, how many dream songs can you sing? We've already established there are only dose. So.
Yes. And I will say that I do object to this question because they are a one hit wonder. And it is unfair for our guests to be expected to know more than that one hit. So as your lawyer, Kelechi, I'm going to say you do not have to answer. You do not have to answer this question, but I will support you either way.
Well, I know listen. One of their songs.
Okay, yes.
Yes. Can you name the song? You have to name the song.
Oh, yeah.
He Loves You Not?
Yes.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
I would argue that he does love you, though, Kelechi. I would argue. don't feel bad because in preparing for this episode, Fram completely bombed every question on this quiz because... Yes. We remember Dream, but we don't remember
all
of Dream.
Oh, it's true. I'm not going to lie. I will fully admit I did not know anything about these girls because like an actual dream, when I try to remember the girl group, it's very hazy, very cloudy, very white. Mm. I also am going to say this right now. I'm going to have a lot of dream puns in this episode. So start counting sheep, bitch.
This I don't know how much you listen to Fran in general, Kelechi, or others podcasts. You probably know this. This woman loves a pun.
I love a pun.
Yeah.
I love a pun.
And it's like akin to a dad joke at this point, right? They're like, not
a Fran joke.
No, a Fran joke. Yes, a Fran joke.
Okay, so class, to dig in, for the unfamiliar, Dream was signed to Bad Boy Records after auditioning for the one and only P. Diddy back in 1998, long before Diddy ruined Dan Diddy Kane, which was a whole nother episode that we have to do. In 2000, Dream had their first and only hit, He Loves You Not, like Kelechi said, only for them to break up a few short years later in 2003.
So today we are going to dig into what happened. How did this promising girl group go from living the dream to a dream deferred? And then, as usual, we're going to pitch how we would fix Dream's career. So let's get into it. Dream, let me fix it.
Wait, I'm just going to have to, I have to say, Langston Hughes is rolling in his grave for a dream deferred. He is rolling in his grave. Jesus.
I told you there were going to be dream puns, and I intend to give y'all dream puns, okay? Before you dive in, I have a little dream tangent. Do you know when you wake up, does this happen to you guys? Like when you wake up and your dream is so strong, but then like an hour later, it's gone. Have either of you had that happen?
Yes. Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. I had to look this up because I thought it was just me, but apparently it is everyone. According to a scientist, it might be because your dreams are happening during REM sleep, and there are these also cells called MCH cells that are like firing at the same time, and they are what take care of your memories. So your dreams are bouncing around at the same time as these cells, and they cannot multitask, and so you can't remember your dream. Isn't that so
weird?
Wow. It's crazy because it's so vivid, right?
Yes.
They're so, like, sometimes I'll have a dream where I like fight with someone, and then I wake up and I'm like, fuck that bitch, and then I... And then I realized that was a dream.
Do you guys
have my BFF? Like, no.
Do you guys have flying dreams ever?
No.
Rarely now. Rarely. Like falling dreams or flying? Just continuously flying?
Either one. Falling dreams would be scary, though.
Yeah, I haven't had those in ages. I think I only had them when I go to, you know, those kind of... those parks where you can do the zip lining and you can do all of those things. I tend to have those sorts of dreams after something like that, which this is why I've never gone skydiving, because I don't want to dream about that afterwards.
That is something that I've missed the boat on that. Or missed the plane. I missed the plane.
Yeah, no, not doing that.
So our story begins in 1998 with a talent scout named Judith Fontaine. She was on the hunt for the next big girl group and eventually selected four young girls from California for the group, and they would become Dream. So the girls were Holly Blake Arnstein, she was 13, Melissa Schumann, who was 14, Ashley Poole, who was 13, and Alex Chester, who was also 13. These girls were so young.
Babies.
I guess
baby girls.
What were you guys doing in 1998? Can you go back in the timeline?
I was just starting high school, so I would have been like year 7, so it's like 7th grade or something. I was just starting high school.
Yeah. That was 8th grade for us. I always remember because the years correspond to the year that I was in school. We graduated 2002. 1998, we were in 8th grade. DeLon, did you just realize this?
You see my face? I just... And then my small pea brain was trying to do the math in my head. I was like, what is it?
I was like, really, is DeLon having a stroke?
Is he frozen? Is the camera frozen? That's crazy. I didn't know that, friend. That's crazy.
Yeah, 1998. What was I doing? I was at School of the Arts. You know what I was doing? I was probably skipping soccer. I was on a soccer team, and I would skip every single time. I'd be like, yeah, go into soccer practice. And then, like, we would go downtown and, like, you know, smoke cigarettes.
Wow. That's Nori.
Your life. So, we've known each other, Coletti, for 25,000 years. And I discover things about her every day. She was a heathen.
I'm like a mix of good girl and bad girl. I don't know how I managed to pull it off.
So in 1998, I was doing my very first play ever. It's called The Lottery. And we stoned a woman to death.
Well, those are choices that we make in theater. Yeah.
You know, crazy.
All right. So fun fact. The group Dream's original name was First Warning, which...
Red flag.
Galecki's face. That is such a deviation. How do we go from First Warning to Dream?
I don't know. Because
I'm going to warn you one time, and then I'm going to knock you out, and then you're going to be dreaming.
You're going to get a first and only warning.
Wait, that's the version of
That's their first single. Honestly, maybe they shouldn't have changed it because they could have had more than one hit. I don't know, but they did change it. And so shortly after forming, the girls got the chance to audition for P. Diddy at a showcase in Beverly Hills, which led to them being signed by Bad Boy Records. Now, before we continue, let's address the elephant in the room. There have been some horrific allegations against P. Diddy that have come out in a now settled lawsuit with Cassie. We will not be getting into those allegations in this episode, but we just want to make it clear that we know that Diddy ain't shit and never been shit, as evidenced by the lawsuit that he settled in 24 hours, okay, because he did that shit, and his long history of shady business dealings and failed artists in his wake. Okay, back to Dream. Shortly after signing to Bad Boy, the group then replaced 13-year-old Alex Chester with Diana Ortiz, also 13. But before the ink on the record deal was even dry, Dream cut ties with Judith Fontaine, the talent scout that discovered them.
Wow.
It's cutthroat out here. It's a dog.
That was a nightmare for Judith.
Ooh, Kalechi's got puns.
She's a writer, bitch. She's a writer. Fuck what you heard. Thank you.
Listen, I just want to bring up, for just for context, I think it's worth mentioning that Alex Chester, one of the 13-year-old girls, her departure from the group was due to like the strenuous training that they had to go through. Later on, like she would talk about what she went through and why she left. I just want to read a quote here because it's really significant. Again, I remind you, these girls were 13 years old. She said, "When I was in PDD's dream, I worked 12 hours a day. I was forced to be on an extreme a diet and exercise regimen. We ran 6 miles every day on top of dancing 4 to 8 hours a day. My calorie intake was constantly being scrutinized, my weight jotted down. If any of us gained a pound, we'd have to work an extra hard that day and eat less. This is slavery."
What?
Yeah, because it is. What?
You're crazy. 13
and I'm so sorry you did all of that and all you got was one hit.
I'm sorry to laugh.
I'm so pissed off.
Absolutely.
I am starving. Oh, what we got with this?
Wow.
She said, "I'm hungry, and all I got was one. I'm dead."
Yeah. Man. Yeah, you know what I think about, and I'm curious if you have this experience, Kalechi. When I think about my teenage years, I was so nasty to myself. I talked so badly about my body. I read my old journals and I'm like, "I'm fat, you're fat, listen, fat bitch, you never gonna make it." And I'm like, why was I saying these things to myself? And then you hear something like this, and it was just so pervasive. Was that something that you wrestled with as a teenager?
It was a fad. You know, celebrities would boast about, you know, "I only eat a tablespoon of food a day." And, you know, there were all of these diets that were flying around the place. It was just such a tough time. Not that now, you know, we're not dealing with similar things, but then it was really, really toxic, like overtly toxic. Now people are doing some things and cloaking it in wellness language and whatever. But you know, then it was just overtly toxic, and I was very similar, especially because I did athletics as well as I was head of the sports team in school, and I was a cadet, like an air cadet, you know, like the mini RAF, Royal Air Force. And there as well, you kind of tell yourself that you're doing that for the sake of sports. I need to be faster. I need to be leaner. I need to be this. But what do you need to be all of those? You are 14, girl. But right. I remember writing it to myself like, "Well, I'm not lean enough. I need to." It's sad. Sad.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Well, and it's just such a like perverse standard of beauty that I feel like a few men are in charge of, that are making these girls do these things and then telling other people, other young girls, that they have to be this thing that's manufactured. Meanwhile, everyone's starving, right?
Yeah. Everyone's hungry and grumpy.
Okay.
Everyone wants a breadstick and we're just looking.
And is crying inside, right? Back to Judith Fontaine. So after Dream drops Judy and signs with Diddy, Judith turned around and sued P. Diddy and the girls of Dream just days before their first album, It Was a Dream, dropped. And that was released in 2000, right? I mean, they can't get a break.
Really?
In the suit, Judith alleged that her talent agency, Fontaine and Daughters, had assembled the group after a nationwide talent search and thus deserved credit and cash. Everybody's so greedy.
Now, here is where things get interesting, because while Judith Fontaine claims that she put the girls together, along with Wikipedia, I found an LA Times article from 2001 that credits music vet Kenny Burns with assembling the girls and getting them that Bad Boy showcase. Okay, what is the truth? What is it? Now, I've never heard of Fontaine and Daughters, but Kenny Burns has quite the resume. He was the former vice president of A&R for Motown Records, and he also worked with R&B songstress Monica.
Oh.
I also found a 2016 Complex interview with the Dream Girls that suggests that Judith introduced them to Kenny Burns. So it's really hard to say what the truth is.
And, you know who your friends are, okay, Judy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unfortunately, Judith's dream was more of a fever dream because she lost her lawsuit. Okay.
Okay. Was that a pun?
That was a pun. That was a pun. Because while she did have a contract with the Girls of Dream, aka First Warning, which I still can't get over, the court decided that it was null and void because the girls were minors when they signed it.
Now, Judith. Now, Judith,
basic
come on.
Basic maths, Judith.
You know?
Basic maths.
What kind of talent scout signs teenagers into a contract without their parents?
And Instead of counting calories, y'all should have been checking IDs, Judith.
And that's why you fell at the first warning. That's, look at him. No.
I have to shout out this MTV headline. It says, "Judge to Dream's ex-manager, they owe you not." Okay.
I'm not mad at him for it. It's so bad. It's so good.
It's so bad. I love it.
So in 2000, Dream released their debut hit, as we've said, He Loves You Not, which quickly got attention and tons of radio play. Eventually peaking at number 2 on the Billboard Hot 100, just behind Destiny's Child's Independent Women. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And guys, that would be the first time that two girl groups would ever be in that spot, 1 and 2.
Wow.
Factoids.
The first time?
The first time, and I think probably the only time, because girl groups are now dead.
Yeah.
So the song was written by Stephen Kipner and Pamela Shane, who together also wrote Christina Aguilera's Genie in a Bottle. And now when we listen to it, I think you'll hear it.
Makes sense.
Right?
Banger. Banger.
Total banger. Total banger.
Honestly, it's as soon as I found that out, I was like, holy shit, same song, different font. Like, they
absolutely
really sound the same. There was a quote in that same LA Times article that I mentioned about Dream's success. And they had a quote from the director at Kiss FM that I thought was really funny. He says, "A lot of those other girl groups have a teen vibe, but these girls have more than that. They've kind of got cool hipness flavor. I don't know if that comes from Bad Boy, but they're a little more gritty. And I think audiences are ready for something like that that's different."
Gritty.
Now, gritty.
Gritty. I mean, listen, it's a bop, it's a bad.
Dirty.
But it's
nasty. Too nasty to getting my act up. It just like, okay.
Yeah. I feel like
it's also a saltine cracker, right? I'm not, come on.
I feel like he definitely called the girls N-word lovers. I'm just going to say it.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. A proximity to blackness giving you street cred, right?
But it's the grits that it gives you, like it's in your teeth.
Right.
Nothing about their sound is gritty.
It's the shit between your wall and your floor. There's that little crevice you can't get to. You know what I mean?
So the video for He Loves You Not peaked at number 2 on TRL, which for our Gen Z listeners was a very big deal. At one point, MTV played music videos and not just back-to-back episodes of Ridiculousness. So I figured that we would take a watch of the video. And just as a heads up, we can pause at any point of the song so that we can make commentary on the video, because there's a lot for us to discuss. Okay, so let's take a watch at the video.
Skipping TLC.
Right.
Oh, look at the grit.
Okay, wait, that girl's hair?
Oh, it is a mop on her hair.
The blonde has a mop. These girls are 13. She looks a smooth 45 with that haircut. It's
wow.
It's
aging her. She does.
It is. It does. Okay, yeah. Keep going. Okay, I have to also say I hate the logo for Dream. It's so ugly.
But you know what? It is of the time. It is of the time.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, they not. This isn't Hype Williams, right? So they couldn't afford Hype Williams. So right. They go with like.
Yeah, it does. It is definitely giving
Whisper
version of yes. Hype Williams. Like the colors, it's all one location. It's very low budget. There's like a little couch in the background. What is that? What's this?
It was like they were trying to mix Britney with TLC. You know?
Yeah, it really does feel that way. And even like the shiny pleathery outfits.
Yes.
And it's like pastel pink though at the yes. same time.
So exactly. So it's not so much no scrubs, it's more like no bangs or something.
My favorite thing choreographically is though it's neck. It's gonna all girl give it all you.
Because that's what the black girls do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And lots of arm pointing.
Yes.
So I'm so sorry. So this is the dancing that they were doing for 4 to 8 hours.
Right.
Please.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, they are doing choreo in their defense, but it's a lot of step touching and a lot of shoulder shimmying and arm.
And like jumping jack feet. It's like in, out, in, out.
Exactly. Yeah. What's it all about? Yeah. Okay. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We're getting close to the chorus. Let's check it out.
Hey.
They didn't even do hands ties.
Yes. Oh, there's another location.
What did they go in those, like, so was this a general thing at the time? Did white people just get on quad bikes and go into the desert?
Yes.
It wasn't just them, because Maya did what you gotta do when you can't say. Why, what was with everybody, the Americans, who got into the desert on a quad bike?
I don't know.
I feel like California love.
Yeah.
They were in a desert, and then all of a sudden, every music video had to go to the desert.
Yeah, I think it's shows them as like edgy. Maybe this is the grit he was talking about. It was the dirt from those ATVs. That's what he was picking up on.
And not to be the logic police here, but they're also 13 and 14. Nobody can drive. How are they driving this ATV?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And not only can they not drive, they're like hanging out of the ATV and stuff. It's very dangerous.
Right?
This is, you know, I'm newly 40. And now I was going to
say,
about,
that's a 40-year-old speaking.
I got to think about safety. okay, so, you know, thank you, Dream, for indulging us in that music video moment. Yeah, I just, you can tell it's low budge. They are having a good time. The song is a bop. But, you know, we'll get into their other song in a minute.
Which, I'll wait, but that's kind of my jam. That's kind of my jam. So Dream's debut album, it was All a Dream, which was a nod to Notorious B.I.G.'s first big hit of the same name. Their album was released on January 23rd in 2001. Unfortunately, their second single, This Is Me, My Bop, didn't match the success of He Loves You Not. But the music video did hit number one on TRL, which, listen, I know all the world is about He Loves You Not, but in the research, I remembered how much I love this song. They're kind of the same, if I'm honest, musically and sonically. But let's watch a few minutes of this one and talk about it, because I think I have some thoughts. But before we dig into that, I just have a query. Kelechi, what was the big music show that you watched in the UK during that, when we were younger? Was it TRL?
TRL, yeah. We watched TRL. Is it 106 and Park?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Same show.
Yeah,
shows.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. Yeah. Watching. Yeah.
Okay, I got us fired up. Let's check it out. Okay, wait, I just want to stop and say the different colored sets, it's giving me Destiny's Child. Remember?
Absolutely.
That was, yes. Again, it's so interesting that you had mentioned Hype Williams, because this era, it was definitely like, oh, that was a popular music video. Now everyone's going to do a video that feels very similar to the one that's popular.
Yeah. He stole your heart, only did it because he could.
Chewed you up and smacked you well. That girl never was. This is a good song.
It's a bop. I love it. I do feel like they went from small girls to like sex.
They got a sexier. They're way sexier.
Yeah.
No matching outfits.
No.
Yeah, it's so Destiny's Child. The different rooms with different colors. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
It is very Destiny. Okay, and also, why is Mama wearing this hat?
She's giving me. Do you remember? We remember Robin, right?
Yes.
The whole song, like music, like vocally, feels like Robin.
Yeah,
yes,
it really does.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, this is a pick me anthem. Like, let's just put it out there. It's a lot of like, you know, girls versus girl. The other ones was like, he doesn't love you, and this one is like, I'm not like her. I'm
always
better.
Fighting over man.
I was
always
just gonna fighting say the over same man. Thing, Kelechi. Why?
Y'all are 14. Y'all should be fighting over some colored pencils.
You know what I'm saying?
Fighting over some grades. But okay. You're here.
Right.
You know?
Shoot. Sitting over here talking about one in a trading bra or some shit. Like, girl, you need to get...
My God. I mean, it is a good song, but I also will agree that they really sexed it up here, which is... Mm-hmm. is which is bothersome to me, and we'll find out later that that becomes a persistent problem for them. Despite millennials taking a cat nap when This Is Me was released, Dream was out here working to get people to check out that album. They were part of the TRL tour. They opened for Destiny's Child, NSYNC, and Nelly. They also did an episode of MTV Cribs, and there was also a line of dolls memorializing the girls. Kelechi, be honest. Did you have a Dream doll?
No. I did not even know this was a thing. Like, they were too quick with that. They were, right? How are we memorializing something that hasn't even been etched into my memory yet? Like,
okay, we are going to look at this. So just so you know, you can get one for the steal of a price of $25 on eBay. Wow. This is
no, but the... look at that. Look at the difference in the hairstyle. Look at that shaggy, 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 shaggy.
They really messed her up with that cut.
They really messed her up. My favorite part, though, is on the back of the box, it says, "Ready for songs filled with soul, confidence, and crazy beats? The next time you turn on your radio and you hear this young female fire, you'll know you're not dreaming. This group is 100% real."
No. Do you remember Dream Phone? Was it called Dream Phone? What, remember that
toy? Wait, it was a game, right?
Yeah. And then you could call your kind of dream
your boyfriend,
right?
Really?
It was a...
Yeah, don't you remember? Yeah, Dream Phone. And because I was looking at the font just now, and it just reminded me of that.
Play a boy's photo card and then you call their number. One of 24 incredible boys really likes you. Now you have to find out who he is by calling his friends for clues. The way that girls are set up for failure.
And I mean, I'm want to conflate things, but y'all were out here talking about, we can't talk about sexuality in the classroom on this side of the pond, the banning books, doing all this shit. Meanwhile, in 1990, whatever, y'all were telling girls, you need to call some boy and he's going to be your boyfriend. Y'all were crazy. That makes sense.
This is creepy. Calls are private unless someone plays a speakerphone card. Then everyone hears that clue.
This is a 900 number.
The game doesn't even make sense. Who knows 24 man? Just right now.
Who wants to know 24 man?
They're calling that K-pop group, you guys. That's called a callback. She's a writer. So y'all, you can get the Dream dolls on eBay. You can also get the Dream Phone game is still available on eBay. So Bad Boy planned to release more singles from It Was All a Dream, but the releases were later canceled. And according to band member Holly Blake Arnstein, it was partly due to the impact of the September 11th attacks in 2001, which I'm going to say kind of tracks, because remember Mariah Carey's film debut Glitter? It would have been a hit. But it was released right after September 11th.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Thank you. Kelechi, speak on it now.
Are you sure?
A hit?
A hit is such a strong word.
Listen, our nation was in mourning, rightfully so.
Don't do that, Trump card. Yes, we were in mourning.
They were not ready to accept Mariah Carey as a film star. There was too much going on in the collective consciousness. And so she didn't. Listen, there are lots of bad movies out here that become, you know, cult classics.
Controversially, I enjoyed it, actually. But I enjoyed it knowing this could have been done differently.
Yes.
With my director's hat on, this could have been done. The choices were made, and I don't know if these were the choices that should have been made.
But I'm glad they made
them. I had a good time.
Yeah. Full transparency, I've never seen Glitter, so I can't really speak, but I can't say that I ever thought Mariah Carey should act at all. Anyway,
I do think on Precious?
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Rescinded.
Oh, yeah.
Rescinded.
Wait. Precious. Yeah, she was great.
Absolutely
in Precious.
She surprised me with Precious. She really did.
Yeah.
No makeup, you know, social worker. Like, she was keeping up with Monique in that scene. She was great.
Yeah, she really was.
She looked miserable. She played it off really well. She played misery really, really well. I'm just looking, right, at the, you said It Was All a Dream. The album was launched on January 23rd, 2001. Mm. So I'm just looking up a bit of astrology. So that would have made the album an Aquarius, right? And Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, and Uranus rules technology and technology, social media, all of that stuff. I have a feeling that we're not making this episode by chance. They're going to resurface on TikTok. I bet they are going to resurface on TikTok maybe next year. I would not, because we're moving with, Pluto's moving into Aquarius in 2024. I wouldn't be surprised if they have a, suddenly people are like, oh my God, did you ever hear this song? And it becomes a whole trend, and they make the money that Diddy stole from them.
Oh my God. Wow. Speak it into existence. I think they deserve it. And I think Delam is going to say, we have a track record of predicting things.
We do. Mm. We have, well, our first prediction was, we thought one of our college professors died. He didn't, but then he died that weekend.
Then he died.
We recorded a whole episode and we thought he died. He didn't die. And then he died. But we talked about JC, and then NSYNC comes back. We talked about Christina. She's coming out with Burlesque the Musical. Like, so you said it here on Let Me Fix It. I wouldn't be surprised if what you just described happens exactly the way you described it.
Well, I am going to claim it into existence, and I'm going to go a step further and say that they deserve it, because there might actually be some validity to this 9/11 killed our album theory. Yeah. There is a quote here from an article that I read about Dream that was saying, in the March 10th, 2002 issue, Newsday quoted the president, CEO of the Recording Industry of America, as listing the terrorist attack among the reason why music sales slowed down in 2001. Also, a slow economy, online piracy, and more people burning their own CDs. So maybe all of those things contributed to the album not doing well.
As a perfect storm.
Back, I see it. And even the fashion, like their pink, shiny, shine outfits. Girls are wearing that to go out now. Like, you know, it's a whole look, you know.
Yeah, the Y2K moment is really having a resurgence with Gen Z. So it would make sense for them to start the music to this music again.
But not that hairstyle of the shaggy girl.
I thought you were going to say Renaissance. And I was like, because Beyonce bought back silver. Fran, you were saying there was no silver to be had.
Nobody was wearing. No one was wearing silver until Beyonce said to wear silver. It's the truth.
True. Right.
Very Y2K.
True.
So back to Dream. In 2001, Melissa Schumann left the group to pursue an acting career. Mm-hmm. According to IMDb, Melissa's most notable credit was in 2003 with 2003's Love Don't Cost a Thing, starring Christina Milian and the notoriously condom averse Nick Cannon.
He said, I'm gonna shoot up the club. they call him the Sperminator.
Get out. So when Melissa left their group, they were halfway through their second album, according to the 2002 article from MTV News. And the album had a number of A-list writers and producers, including the Neptunes, Rodney Jenkins, Wade Robson, and P. Diddy himself. After a lengthy talent search, 15-year-old Casey Sheridan joined the group in the fall of 2002.
Okay, so if we are keeping track, we lost Alex, then we gained Diana, then we lost Judith, now we lost Melissa and gained a Casey. If you ask me, keeping track of who's in Dream is a nightmare. Ooh. Okay, like so soup. In the summer of 2003, the group released the single Crazy featuring rapper Loon, which coincided with a sexier image. And later in interviews, the girl said that they did not want this sexy image, and it signaled that their dream was coming to an end. Let's watch a clip of this Crazy song. Midriff. Everybody's got a midriff.
Okay.
Why is her legs open like that? Hanging off the frame with the dress. I said,
These girls are 15.
And
16?
Guys, it's really giving Destiny's Child, no?
It is. And even like those, like, what does that sound like?
That's very Timbaland.
Yes, very Timberland. It does have a very
Timberland
sound.
But Loon works a lot with Timberland, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this doesn't
fit. The back popping? It doesn't fit.
What's funny is that I know this song. I just didn't know that it was them.
Wow.
It sounds different. It sounds very different from their other stuff. Like the instrumentals sound different. And then even like, I mean, again, the visuals, it's very sexy. It's a lot of hips and crotch and.
Yeah. Did somebody bring this back? Because I know this, like, maybe it was just them.
I've never heard this song.
Me either.
You know what? I think they were trying to kind of riff off, what is it? Truth Hurts. Like, because that song was big.
We always talk about how the Truth Hurts song, she's like really off key. Don't we always
and these
about
are as well. So because it was, and it was like so addictive, it's the main just like these lot are off as well.
it's just sounds.
She's like, I'm so contagious. He wants my pages.
What I'm waiting for. He gets me.
Oh God. And you know what? That one was also like, you know, in India or like in the desert, right? It's like all the same.
Yes.
I'm trying to look it up. Do you remember what her name is? Truth? Here it is. Here it is. It's the song is called Addictive. Hold on a second.
Yes.
Yo, it is a bop, though. Come on.
Hey, you see, that's what they're trying to do.
It yes, does. It exactly does sound. Right. Boy, you could be a bit of shorty lines. You're making me feel. Yeah, they sound the same.
Yeah, they sound like. And it's funny because their one, Dreams one, sounds like the engineer was just like, I'm not being paid enough to mix this. So your voice, what you are doing in this studio right now is what everybody's about to hear that you've done. I'm not adding anything.
It does sound, they do sound overpowered by the music.
Well, and it's very gritty, absolutely. Well, I'll also say this, like from the first one with all that pank to the second one, they added more black people in This Is Me. So they're surrounded by black people. And then in this one, they were like, let's go to the desert and try that. They were just trying everything. They were trying to fix it themselves. So let me fix it. And, you know.
And they did, and to their credit for the crazy video, they did add one black person because they had a rapper in that one. We didn't get to that part in the video, but he seems very out of place because he's a grown ass man with these young girls in the desert. It just, the optics are not great.
To them, it sounds in place. Like, yeah.
So Crazy failed to take off, peaking at just number 39 on the Billboard mainstream top 40. Dream's second album, Reality, was scheduled to be released in the fall of 2003, but kept being postponed by the label. Ultimately, the album didn't get a wide release and was only available for digital download from the Virgin Megastore. Remember that? Virgin Megastore?
Oh my God.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Not long
after. And that's crazy because you know the download speeds were terrible back then. So they were being set up for success. That means they were being set up for failure, right?
I'm trying to be forward thinking. Anyway, not long after, Bad Boy eventually just dropped the group and they were disbanded. In 2008, members Melissa, Ashley, and Diana started a new group under the name Lady Phoenix.
Terrible name.
What kind of name? It sounds like a menstruation pad, like a period pad. Like
Sprout wings and fly. Yeah.
Is it your time of the month? Get Lady Phoenix. The wings.
Absolutely.
Holding on to your knickers.
Oh my God, the wings on the pad.
Yes. Oh,
holding on to your knickers. That is so funny. Or like a wash and her hair is just like in the wind, Lady Phoenix. I understand like the attempt at rebranding and that's what our show is about, right? So I think the name recognition is currency. If they were smart, they would have just like done a play on Dream, right? Fran loves a pun, so like consult Fran for a pun consultation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have a couple that I thought of. What about Dream's Reality, right? A play on the name and the second album? No buyers?
No, I don't love it.
What do you think, Kelechi? Fran, we're going
to... I was thinking... something like Awakened, Like, just, you know, like some, you're grown now, or you're, yeah, it's a next stage. Like,
that is smart. I would go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My pitches were chasing the dream, or dare to dream.
Dare to dream. Dare to dream.
Dare to dream. That's good.
D2D. Yeah.
D2D.
Oh my God. Have you listened to D2D? Oh my God. You know,
like, that would have been really cute. The branding. I mean, that would be really,
not the same font, though, but they can use the same font to remind you that the first D can be, the second D can be like what their first D was. The first warning.
It's like, it's like an evolution. The D's are changing from one version of the group to another.
Exactly.
They should have hired us for the consult. Ready?
At 1,000%.
So Dream 3.0 shot a reality show documenting this new version of the group for a comeback, which eventually failed because they failed to sell the reality show to a network. And then the group disbanded again in 2012.
In 2016, Dream tried yet again to make their musical dreams come true, releasing their first single together in 13 years. I Believe, and the song is terrible. We will not subject you to it. We will just put a clip in here. They performed an acoustic version as a Perez Hilton exclusive, which should tell you everything about
their choices.
Right. Bottom of the barrel. Talk about grit, okay?
Hey, mister, you're seriously twisted. But thank you for the pain because it made me more persistent. Now you can't break me down. No, I will fly. With all my heart, I sing to you. I am not conquered. No.
Like, to debut it for Perez Hilton is just very strange. The reunion did get the women some buzz, along with the chance to open for 98 Degrees on the My2K tour. But by October 2016, it was announced that once again, the group had disbanded. Now, my question for y'all is, why do you think so many girl groups fail? Because Dream's story is not unique. A lot of girl groups have come and gone, disbanding after, you know, having some success. Escape, 3LW, Total, Zayn, Brownstone, 702. Thoughts?
Patriarchy.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, it seems like the failsafe, but honestly, it is like they're trying to create something in a system that's not conducive to them. It doesn't support women, it doesn't support female solidarity, it doesn't support that. So the pressures are on them. It's just, and naturally, when you're in that sort of environment, due to patriarchy, rivalry will be encouraged. It becomes so toxic. Nobody gets along. Like, you have a particular pitch in your voice, it works. All three of our voices work together, for instance, if we do it like this. But then suddenly they're making fun of how you sing because you're, you know, you might sound a bit, I don't know, more gritty or whatever, then body shapes and then colorism and then all of that. There's so much that stacks against, like, you know, girl groups that, of course, they're not going to survive. But I bet if they were left to their own devices and, like, patriarchy wasn't involved, they'll be fine.
I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, we heard it from the girl who talked about those grueling rehearsals and diets and stuff. I was thinking that maybe it's because so many of these groups are manufactured. Like, the girls don't really know each other. And now you are thrust into a whole new arena with strangers. And tensions are going to be high, like you're mentioning. Versus, like, not that family groups don't have drama, but if you're the Jackson 5, for example, like, y'all all grew up together, you know each other. Even Destiny's Child, right? Even with all the musical chairs that they had, they grew up together. So, like, there was a foundation there versus trying to make it work with some strangers.
But maybe I'd rather make it work with some strangers.
Yeah, right. So you can keep your family. But also, I mean, it's kind of all the patriarchy tip, capitalism, right? I feel like it's about getting money. It's about using whatever we can do. Oh, that music video worked, or different colors worked, or we're going to a desert, right? It's using these women to get money. And then when you're part of capitalism, you can't, it trickles down. If you're in the group, you're like, well, I want to be the star. I want to be the lead singer. It's like Kelly Rowland being like, no, I'm the second lead singer. And Beyonce looking at her like, girl, what?
You know?
That is the funniest. That is one of the funniest videos I've ever seen in my life. Because Beyoncé's expression was like, huh?
It was real, too. When she was like, girl.
Those are the days, because now Beyonce doesn't show you that stuff.
She's going to make a movie.
Absolutely nothing. Poker face.
Okay, so now that we've gone over Dream's career, now it's time for us to do what we do here and fix it. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
And we're back. So now it's time for The Fix, where we pitch how we would fix and revive Dream's career. Kelechi, because you are the guest of honor, do you have a fix for them?
Well, I'm going with astrology on this one. Like I said, I really think that TikTok is a great time for them to come back. We're seeing the Y2K fashion, you know, creeping back in. This is a time for them to do something cute, especially if they've got daughters now, doing a little video with their dancing with their daughters to He Loves You Not, dancing to that, and it being super cute.
Oh my God.
Before you know it, that's gone viral, and then they can relaunch. Because how are you banding and disbanding the, are you an elastic band? Come on, let's do it, and let's do it properly.
Yes.
One last time.
I love the idea of them. They could have the daughters in the same outfits. You just came up with a TikTok trend off the top of your head. I'm very impressed. Okay, so my fix is I would love to see a mini series of all of Bad Boy's failed musical projects. Each episode could be a different artist that Diddy killed. So Total was signed from 1995 to 2000. Mace was signed from 96 to 99. 112 was 95 to 2002. Are y'all noticing a pattern? Nobody stays signed to Bad Boy for very long. Dream, 99 to 2003. DaBand, 2003 to 2004. 1 year.
Danity
Kane, 2005 to 2009. I don't think, to DeLon's earlier point, Dream does not have a big enough catalog to sustain a full series, a full reality show, in my opinion. But if they just got an episode, so 40 minutes, we could see all the girls, we could get the backstory, and it's couched in this, your failure is the failure of Bad Boy, right? Like, this is a pattern.
Let's be up, Diddy.
Yeah.
Pitch it to Netflix and call it a reframe, right? It wasn't your fault. Mm-hmm. It was not your fault, everybody. I love a docuseries.
Bad Boy is bad.
He said it in the title.
Worst boy.
Okay. So my fix is, I think this is just hard because they already tried to fix it. Like I said earlier, they tried several times to fix it. Mm-hmm. If they're trying to fix it again, I would say very much to Kelechi's point, make the music a hobby and take it to the internet, right? Is there a YouTube channel? The TikTok thing I think is brilliant. One of the other ones I had was, what about an animated series for Dream? Like a Powerpuff Girls, like a Sailor Moon, right? That takes back and empowers young girls and writes new songs, right? It's an opportunity for them to create new Dream content. I don't know who owns the logo or the idea of the band, but I thought that might be cool.
Yeah, I love the superhero angle because they can do the arm. They can do the arm movements.
We are the Dream.
Right, and I insist on in the show, there's only one man that is the villain that they constantly beat up.
It's P. Diddy.
It's P. Diddy.
P. Diddy is the villain.
And then when he comes in, whenever he comes in shot, he's doing this.
Yeah.
Like, as he's coming in, like, just shaking his shoulders as he's coming in. That's what he needs to do. Yeah.
My last thing is, like, everybody's writing a children's book, and that feels like very, like, you're bequeathing, like, you're giving something back to the kids. So I would say, like, also a children's book. Why not?
I love it. They should call the book First Warning.
Now it's time for everyone's favorite segment, the glow up, where we give props to those who have turned themselves around without our help. We're also going to let you go first on this one, Kelechi.
So a person, not a thing.
It could be anything you want.
Anything.
Okay, because I'm going to go with the hair bonnet. The hair bonnet, oh my God. Like, I know that our good auntie Monique isn't really feeling for us to wear it at the airport and all of those things there. But honestly, the designs that I'm seeing for hair bonnets recently, especially at the at the airport, I'm really, really loving it. Over here, I don't know if it's the same. I'm over in America, but in South London, a lot of the boys as well, the young boys, they've got like their hair bonnets on as they're riding their bikes and they're going about. And I just love like the glow up of the hair bonnet where, you know, it's not gender specific and you can get different colors. And it's beautiful, like hair care. And we're here. Yeah.
I love that because I also feel like the bonnet has had a glow up because of TikTok. People are making TikTok videos in their hair bonnets, all of
in their bedroom. Under the
laying
covers.
In bed. Yeah. I feel like if you don't have a bonnet on, your video is going to automatically tank. I don't have any hair. So I maybe need to start throwing a bonnet on so I can get my numbers up. Was a really good one. I haven't seen young men wearing bonnets, but I love that. Like, you better push back against the gender binary.
Didn't you see Jack Harlow? Jack Harlow had a picture on recently. When I saw Jack Harlow in a hair bonnet, I was like, there goes the neighborhood.
We have switched it up. I mean, I love that it's also a fashion moment, that it's like, you know, shoot, I'm going to come as I am.
Mm-hmm. And as it should be.
Right.
Just wear my hair bonnet. I don't want my hair out today. Thanks so much.
I love that. Okay, so my glow up goes to Teyana Taylor for a second time. She recently announced that she is filing for divorce. In the documents, some details have come out about her soon-to-be ex-husband, Iman, being jealous of her fame and feeling insecure about not being good enough for her, despite that he was making more money than her. He really felt like when they would go on red carpets, he would be asked to step aside for her. You know, she was getting all of this buzz around her acting things. She was even turning down music work so that she didn't overshine him. And I just want to say shout out to Teyana Taylor for saying, I deserve better. You should not be in partnership with somebody that is jealous of you. You should not be with someone who wants you to dim your light. And my hope is that even though these details came out and it seems that it has been very upsetting to her because she did not want the filing to be public. She released a statement on Instagram saying she did not want this to come out. My hope is that the silver lining is that more women say, you know what? I deserve to be in a relationship with somebody who supports me and is cheering for me and not trying to undermine my success. So shout out to her for knowing that she deserves better, because she absolutely does.
Yeah, you want somebody like your cheerleader, wind behind your sails, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that in my spirit. Like, when you start feeling guilty because you know that there's another achievement coming around the corner and you're worried that, oh, the person that you're with is going to be upset because you've got another achievement coming, that slows everything down. Like, put the entire person in the bin.
Yeah,
that's so real. Like, I'm not trying to dim my light so that, you know, you can feel better about you. Like, you're welcome, right? Look at the shine. Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
My glow up is Andre 3000, and I have to be full transparency. Fran told me about Andre 3000 coming out with a new album, and I ran to listen to it. So it's, I'm giving you cred for this glow up.
But I mean, listen,
but
go.
It's it's. It's just not what you thought it was, guys. So Andre 3000, for those who don't know or don't remember, is one half of the duo Outkast. They gave us Miss Jackson. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh. They gave us So Fresh, So Clean, Hey Ya, and, you know, Forever Ever. Andre has released this album after 17 years, because his last one was in 2006, in case you didn't remember, friends. And it is a soundscape.
It is a soundscape of bells and chimes and shells, and like a sound bath. I was literally like, what? And the tracks, guys, are like 10, 12, 13, 17 minutes long. And I just am so disappointed, but I'm glad that he's creating music as an artist. I'm like, yo, I'm giving you all the shine. You need to sow your oats creatively and figure some stuff out. But like, as a fan, we were really ready to like, I was ready to shake my ass.
I was ready to shake my ass too, because I was also, I was excited and I sent it to Dylan because I think we were all really excited about it. I do think it's a glow. I think you're right to call it a glow up, even though it's not the right music for me, because he talked about the fact that as a man in his 50s, he's like, what am I going to rap about? Getting a prostate exam?
Like, and I want more 50-year-old men to have shame. Have shame. Look at what Andre 3000 is saying. Have shame. Because your age mate, he's saying, what would I now come and rap about? But instead, the rest of you are doing and I'm in with some hoes. And I'm with that. Go and sit down. Go and sit down.
It's real.
Like, listen. Even just to encourage him, I will shake my ass to some tinkling and some time to let him know that I support this message. I support this message.
I am dying. Yo, I was going to say, yo, all of y'all that we grew up with are like 50 and 60. So rap about, you still got money. Rap about some money. I don't know. One of the things I did want to say is that I want to give you one of these titles of a track because it's asinine. This is the entire title. The slang word pussy rolls off the tongue with a better ease than the proper word vagina. Do you agree?
Now.
That is the title of his track.
Yeah, that's very weird. Also, crazy. Like, why are we in it? Why are, like,
yeah, now what am I in?
Right.
If you want to say pussy, say it, but that don't make that my business.
Okay.
And you can vagina, pussy, like, it all still pop. But like, it still works. I don't see what the issue is.
Whatever you need. Whatever you need.
Oh my goodness. Well, this unfortunately wraps up another episode of Let Me Fix It. Kelechi, it was an absolute joy having you on the pod. Please tell the listeners where they can find you on the interwebs.
Thank you so much. Up until the end of January, I am on at Kelechnikov. From then, I'm just leaving social media. I know, Francesca, that you're coming off Twitter. Or yeah. You've come off Twitter.
Wait, so are you leaving full time?
Yeah, I'm done. I feel like I've done enough. I feel like I've done enough, you know?
Oh.
So I'm out, you know? No, my videos and all of those things will stay up, but I'm not making anything else. I've given enough to the girls, you know?
Oh my God. Listen, I am so inspired by, I mean, as you can tell, because I decided to quit Twitter, but just saying like, I'm good on this. I don't need this anymore. Like, and protecting your peace and focusing on the work that's fulfilling you creatively. That is incredibly powerful, but also you have written a book. So, you know, definitely we got to remind people to check out the book.
Yeah. What's the name of your book?
Thank you. So my book is speculative fiction mixed with a bit of love, and it's all, you know, black protagonists. It's called Edge of Here. So it's a collection of short stories. So playing around with sci-fi, Black Mirror, but like better and for black people.
Yes, better and for black people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I've got a picture book, a children's book coming out February 1st. It's called Strong Like Me. So you get to follow little Kamara, a little black girl who's celebrating her physical strength amongst her other strengths, while other children are like, why are you so strong? Girls aren't meant to be strong. So I've got that coming.
See, I didn't even know about that book, but I'm just going to call back to my fix and go, Dream, everybody's doing it. A book to empower kids. A book to empower kids is so smart, right? Thank you so much for being here, Kelechi. Thank you. And classroom, you know we want to hear from you. Do you think Dream has a second chapter? Do they start on TikTok?
A fourth chapter.
You're so right. A tenth chapter.
You know what? And you know what? Dream, there's your children's book. It's a counting book.
Did we break up?
The shade. I love it. And classroom, maybe you'd like to suggest a show, celeb, or brand that we should fix in the future. Hit us up on Instagram at fixitpod. And you can also email us at letmefixitpod@gmail.com. Remember, we want to give you guys advice. So we're looking at our inbox. You want these emails? Come on, y'all.
And if you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app. I'm Francesca.
I'm DeLon.
And this was Let Me Fix It.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.